All right, welcome to the Tennis Wagering Podcast. Day 11 of the Wimbledon Championships. Very interesting semifinal matches. Anderson versus Isner and Djokovic versus Nadal. Of course, you can always follow me at Tennis Wagering. I've had a pretty positive couple of weeks. Hope to continue this. All right, so let's get started. First, let's talk about the most interesting match. Djokovic versus Nadal. I was going to say Isner-Anderson just as a joke, but let's be honest, not even as a joke. You know, it wouldn't be funny. So this is an extremely interesting match. I'm a big Djokovic fan. I'm not going to lie. He is the most electrifying player I've ever seen live. And, you know, I don't say that lightly. I've seen a lot of people. But his positioning, his returns, his defense, it's odd. You know, people go, oh, at Federer's beautiful shots. They go, oh, at Nadal's just determined fight and forehands and everything. But I've never heard as many ohs for just defensive plays like Djokovic. He's amazing. And I think he really has a shot to win Wimbledon here and beat Nadal. You know what? Like, I don't really like Djokovic's match versus Nishikori that much. However, he did show in the third and fourth sets that he was very superior. He won those last couple of sets 6-2. He just ground Nishikori into the ground. But then again, this is Nishikori. You can't really, you know, take that at face value, especially on grass. I respect what Nadal did more, to be honest, against Del Potro. He really came back from a 2-1 down deficit, and he really, you know, he eventually got him. What can you say? You know, he eventually got him in the last couple of sets. However, I always give the advantage here in this match to the person who plays defense better, because I don't think anybody except maybe Delpo or Federer has enough offense to put someone away, to put anyone away. So I think that Djokovic is going to have a pretty big advantage on Nadal. He can play that grinding game that Nadal likes. And let's be honest, everywhere that's not clay, Djokovic has had a massive advantage as soon as he popped up on the scene. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Eight matches dating back to 2013. Djokovic has beaten Nadal on hard courts. Of course, clay courts have been a bit different. But this is what I like about him. His return will always nullify Nadal's, you know, loopy forehands. He can't play that game against Djokovic as easy as he can against almost everybody else. Djokovic is not one-dimensional. He's five-dimensional. And I think he's going to have the best shot at wearing Nadal down. This is a potential classic, to be honest. Both of these guys are not at their best. They're diminished, but somehow that makes it even better. I think it's going to be a real battle of attrition. Djokovic minus 114, Nadal minus 106. When it gets down to these types of matches, and you just have to make a gut call based off what you've seen. My gut call has been the gut call I've been making since the beginning of the tournament, is Djokovic is going to have too much for Nadal here. I really like Nadal, and he's been playing surprisingly well on grass, but I have to say I don't rate him that much on grass. He's beaten opponents that have been, you know, they've been all right, but he hasn't had that different dimension to him. He's faced a lot of kind of straightforward type of guys. Djokovic at least faced somebody like Khachanov, Edmund, Nishikori. He's faced all different styles this week, and he's come through unscathed. Of course, he's kind of fighting himself more than he's fighting other opponents, to be honest. So you're going to have to see if Djokovic is going to get frustrated by Nadal and Nadal can take over. But I think that just in general, Djokovic, his defense is going to be too much for Nadal. I don't think it's going to be an easy match, of course, obviously. But just from what I've seen, I think Djokovic is the more solid player. I think he has the pedigree on grass to get things done. I think Nadal has had somewhat of an easy time, and he almost even, you know, lost against Delpo. But you know, Djokovic is completely different. Nadal's going to have to hit through him, you know, a bunch of times to win a point. I don't think Nadal has the serve. I don't think either of these guys actually have the serve advantage, because you know, Djokovic drop serve even easier than he can break somebody, to be honest. So I think this is going to be a very topsy-turvy match, but I think Djokovic just has too much in the tank right now. And you know, to be honest, Nadal's match against Thapo was 5 hours, and that was just, you know, a couple of days ago. And Djokovic has had a much easier time facing a harder opponent. So I think that Djokovic will win this -114. Of course, you can stay away. Of course, you don't have to make a play on this. I'll make a play, just to say I'm going to make a play. But this one is just to enjoy. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be fantastic. I think it's going to be awesome. I think it's going to be all of those words. But I don't know. I just have that feeling that Djokovic is going to take it. So that's number one. Number two is another awesome match, but more for personal, you know, American tennis reasons, which is Isner versus Anderson. Isner is a -120 favorite. Anderson +100. Of course, shop around when the lines are this close. All different books are going to have better lines than this. So this is just a baseline kind of line. Isner -120, Anderson +100. You know what? I don't think that Anderson matches up against Isner that well. Anderson does have that serve, but I think his serve is a bit worse than Isner's on grass. You saw what Isner did to Raonic. He just completely. What I said I thought Raonic was going to do to Isner just was on another level. Isner loves to return, loves to do what is it? An attacking return. He tries to just pin you deep from the start, from the first ball, and then just attack from there. He's not the type that will play around and be all defensive and play angles and everything. If you come hard at him, he just comes harder, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And Isner has been playing fantastically this past week, except that little blip against Bemelmans. But you know, whatever. It's always going to happen. He didn't even think he was going to be there. So Isner just impressed me so much against Raonic. He broke him. He actually broke Raonic a bunch of times. Super surprising. Once in the third, twice in the fourth, which is amazing, you know, considering how great Raonic was this week. All of a sudden, he just, you know, he just had no answer for Isner's return game. So imagine that. So all Isner has to do is be clutch on the tie breaks, which he is. I thought that Raonic would have an advantage, and he really did. He really did have an advantage. Isner's second set tie break win was a really topsy-turvy one. You know, usually Isner, if he loses that, you know, one point, that's most likely it, and especially against somebody like Raonic. But Raonic just gave him chances. He got Isner lost, what was it, 2 serve points on that tie break, and and Raonic just gave it back. So that's very uncharacteristic of Raonic. I think that Anderson is similarly not as great in the tiebreakers, as you can see from what from his Federer. He lost a tiebreaker to Federer. He won 3 tiebreak sets against Monfils, and a couple of against Cole Schreiber. However, Isner's a different proposition. Isner owns Anderson a bit, 8-3 head to head. So I think that Anderson's going to have a bit of trouble with Isner, to be honest. I'd really like Isner at -120. Obviously, I would not take him. I would never take Isner in a best of five, not even, you know, for just as a matter of principle, just as a matter of him never winning those 5 setters. However, I think he really has a good shot against Anderson based on how he's playing. He said himself on the interviews, I think it was the post-match press conference, he said there's something different about the grass this year. It might just be him, you know, mentally reaching another place after winning Miami. But he did say, you know, it bounces higher, it gives him more time, it's not as awkward. So all of these taller players are really benefiting, you know, Anderson and Isner. They're two really big players, and they're really benefiting from this. However, I think Anderson is more of a hit and miss player. I think Isner you know, ironically, if I said that about Isner against Raonic, that Isner just doesn't have the ground strokes, I think Isner actually has the advantage if you go to a long rally against Anderson. I think Isner has that extra gear against Anderson that you know he will be willing to play those long rallies. I think Anderson has a less of an advantage in those long rallies, because Isner has always shown, you know, even in prior matches against people like Nishikori and Djokovic and that kind of thing, he's shown that he can hang around. He's shown that he can really concentrate on those longer rallies and win them when he can. However, Anderson is just a quick strike player, and that's all he's going to be. And there's nothing wrong with that. But Anderson is just a quick strike player. You know, his win against Federer was remarkable, but Federer really dropped his level. Federer really dropped his level. Anderson was just doing the same thing over and over, and he just kept believing in himself. And he just, you know, the definition of, you know, of insanity and that kind of thing. But Anderson kept doing the same thing, and all of a sudden Federer started faltering. So that's very impressive from Anderson. However, that game, Isner can play as well, and I think he plays it even better than Anderson. And if anything, I think Anderson is more one-dimensional. Isner can mix it up a lot. He has that inside-out forehand that he can play. He can also play long rallies. Anderson will not be so suited to that. So I think Isner has a good shot here at -120. So for my two plays, I will take Djokovic -114 and Isner -120. Of course, these are Wimbledon semifinals. You may just want to enjoy them instead of playing anything. I definitely understand that. I would definitely prefer just, you know, getting on like a first round Newport or something rather than the semifinals of Wimbledon and have to root for somebody. But I think it's going to be an Isner-Djokovic final. We'll see. So I'll make those two official plays. And what else happened? Oh, very impressive victory by Brian and Sock in the doubles semifinals. They really dominated Ingvar and Skugor, but then Ingvar and Skugor came back to tie the sets at two, and then all of a sudden, you know, clutchness from the Americans broke out, and they broke, was it 5-4 in the fifth set to win. I like them as favorites of -150 over Klaassen and Venus. Klaassen and Venus are a very good doubles partner, very good doubles partners. But like I tweeted, I think it was yesterday, Jack Sock is statistically the best doubles player in the world. I read that somewhere. I have to look it up. But Sock is the best doubles player in the world. And Mike Bryan's serve is a kind of a weak point, but that really is nullified by Bryan's, you know, his intelligence for the game. So I think they're actually going to win this. So sorry for Bob, but you know, you're finally not going to win one with your brother. But I think Brian and Sock take it, and that is happening when? Oh, that's happening Saturday. So, well, no, I'm not going to have a preview on that or anything. But Brian Sock at -150, I really like that. There could be a bunch of tie breaks, but I think Sock is the wild card. He's the X factor, and I think he really, you know, you saw how we celebrated at the end of that match. I think they were on the verge of blowing it, and they didn't. And this is going to be their scare of the tournament, I think. So it's too bad for Klaassen and Venus. They're both very good and serviceable doubles players, but I don't think they're going to take it. So that's going to be another official play for me, is the ATP doubles Wimbledon final, Brian and Sock. I've been on them. I haven't really mentioned any of this because they've been mostly like -300, -400, and, you know, nobody really goes for that type of stuff. Especially not like on a, you know, on a podcast like this or something, or just random picks. But I've been on them, you know, this whole week, to be honest. Just haven't mentioned it. And, you know, this time it is. There are finally some manageable odds for Brian and Sock. All right, so follow me at Tennis Wagering. Those are the three official plays for the semifinals. Isner, -120. Djokovic, -114. And Brian Sock, -150 for Saturday for the men's doubles championship. And as always, in these types of matches, you know, big slam semifinals, it's just your gut instinct. You know, what can you say about Djokovic and Nadal that, you know, no, that nobody has said before? What kind of new What kind of new kind of, and even for Isner Anderson, what kind of new insight do you have that nobody has had? You know, these guys have been there for 5 years, for 10 years, for 15 years, whatever. But it just depends on what you see. And what I see from Djokovic, I think he's going to befuddle Nadal. And what I see from Isner, I think Isner is feeling it in a way that he's never felt it before in 2018. And I think he has it over Anderson. All right. So see you tomorrow, I suppose, for the finals. For the final preview. Thank you.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.